Jimmy Kimmel said the big orange guy is said to be feeling blue because soon he's going to understand what it feels like to be evicted from your home in the middle of a pandemic. The big orange guy's daughter, Ivanka, is worried about dad's legacy. Kimmel said her father's legacy? Her father's legacy is going to be a rusted half section of a wall on the border of Arizona. Colbert said, despite clinging to the job desperately, Trump is not actually doing any of it. The president has reportedly watched more TV than usual. Colbert said, more? How? Did he move the Resolute desk to a Best Buy? And Colbert said, the president's allergy to reality is hitting epic new heights. The White House has directed federal agencies to proceed with budget plans for his second term. Colbert says, now that is some industrial strength denial. At a certain point, even Norman Bates was like, I'm starting to think my mom's not looking too great. From the Daily Beast, Seth Meyers and Larry Wilmore talked about life after Trump. Wilmore said, America's long national nightmare is almost over, which for comedians means the task of processing that national nightmare into jokes is nearly over. Thank Jesus. Seth was asked if he feels a personal sense of relief since it was him and President Obama DPing Trump at the White House Correspondents' Dinner 2011 that allegedly pushed Trump to make a run at the presidency. Meyer said, yeah, man, it's a real trip. If you had told me when I walked off stage that night that people would be talking about it almost a decade later, I would have assumed, oh, great, that's how good I did. It says something about his ego, he joked when he said he would rather have killed and made Trump run for president than have bombed. Wilmore says that Trump has screwed things up for political comedians because they'll never be able to summon the same fire for Biden and Harris as they could for the current president. And he said, or do you just have to direct it at people like Mitch McConnell? Seth compared Trump to a heckler at a stand-up show that the comedian can crush so hard that he ends up being the highlight of the night. But if you're a good comedian, hopefully the next time you go out, you'll be able to succeed without the heckler there. So I feel like Trump's been the crowd work heckler for the last 4 years. He says his writing staff is ready to flex their muscles and show to your aunt and your dry cleaner and all the people who have said the comedy must write itself. We're all desperate to show that we've actually been writing comedy, and hopefully post-Trump we can prove it. I've been picking away at this Daily Beast interview with Whitney Cummings. And they started talking about Shane Gillis. You remember Shane had been signed by SNL, and then they found some old videos of him, and then they're like, nah, 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 never mind that. So from the Daily Beast, I wasn't even familiar with Shane Gillis when the controversy hit. I do think there needs to be better vetting by people in hiring positions, because SNL should have known about that stuff and at the very least been prepared for it. To your question, I was a fan of Louis C.K. prior to all the stuff coming out about him. Would I attend one of his shows now? I don't know. But would you watch the special? It's like I listen to the Ted Bundy tapes. I love watching murders give confessions. I've consumed and paid for entertainment featuring murders. Truly despicable people. I think when people try to cancel a comedian, their audience might shift, but in a weird way, it makes them more popular. She was asked if she thinks Louis C.K. is more popular now. I'll chime in. I will say no. Let's see what she says. She said, well, it's hard to tell because we're not touring. I think if Louis did a tour, people would be like, yeah, and I'm not voicing an opinion on what it should be. But I did a gig in Texas maybe a year ago and I couldn't get through my set because people were like, what happened to Louis? What's the big deal? When I was doing my book tour after the Roseanne stuff, people would ask me, what happened to Roseanne? They still didn't know, and I'd tell them, well, there was this racist tweet, and they'd go, yeah, well, she's crazy. Why is this surprising anyone? We have three jobs and just want to watch a funny show for 20 minutes. I think Sarah Silverman had a really elegant take on all of this, saying, can you forgive? Can anyone have retribution? Can anyone get help? I don't think I know the answer, and I think right now we're all in so much pain that we have such a low tolerance for forgiveness right now because everything's so scary. The person next to you at the grocery store is scary right now. Your own brother or sister is scary to you right now. But these people might resurface again on independent platforms without sponsors and networks behind them, and the people that listen or watch, they might not be watching for the right reasons, but I'm sure people want to catch a freak show. From Variety, John Cleese is being accused of transphobia following a Twitter rant in which he defended Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling. On Sunday morning, a Twitter user asked Cleese about his stance on Rowling's views. Just to catch up there, back in June, Rowling made headlines for stating that she believes one's biological sex is their real sex and criticizing transgender people for erasing the concept of sex. Cleese jumped in and said, I'm afraid I'm not that interested in trans folks. I just hope they're happy and that people treat them kindly. Right now, I'm more focused on threats to democracy in America, the rampant corruption in the UK, the appalling British press, the revelations about police brutality. Another user asked Cleese, why can't you just let people be who they want to be? Cleese wrote back, deep down, I want to be a Cambodian policewoman. Is that allowed, or am I being unrealistic? One user pointed out Cleese's superficial understanding of the topic. Cleese responded, yes, my understanding is superficial. One thing. When a woman who was once a man is competing against women who have always been women, I think she has an advantage because she's inherited a man's body, which is usually bigger and stronger than a woman's. Does that prove phobia? Queer Eye star Jonathan Van Ness wrote back and wrote, "Dear John Cleese, you do seem to not only be interested in trans folks, but also adding to transphobia at a time when trans people are being murdered worldwide. Trans and non-binary people aren't being treated kindly." From the AV Club, Allison Breeze says, "If you're waiting for a GLOW movie, don't hold your breath, because if it does happen, it might take a minute." She says she has faith in the creators that they know how to wrap the story, but knows how hard a movie like that can be to get off the ground. See Community as an example. She said, "I'm a little pessimistic about it actually happening, just in light of everything that's gone on this year and how difficult it is to get anything back into production with COVID. And I'm also part of the Community cast, who's been trying to get a movie going for 6 years." Has it really been 6 years? Wow. Christina Catherine Martinez was one of the 20 comedians Vulture wants you to keep an eye on. She was asked, "How do we know you?" And she said, "I think the ad for my car has the most eyes on it. It's also common knowledge that I have the best legs in comedy." They asked her, "When did you feel you were funny enough to make a legitimate go at comedy?" She said, "I had the inverse revelation. Watching big comics falter at indie shows as they worked out their material made me think, all right, I know I can be at least as funny as that guy, and he's on TV." And if you've been looking forward to Coming to America, no, not Coming to America, the new one, Coming Number Two America, the sequel, Amazon has let you down. There's a new release date, March 5th, 2021, for Coming to America. Originally, it was scheduled to come out in December, but it is not. That's your comedy news for today. Follow the show on Spotify. Click the, hey, let me know there's a new episode, little dongle there, so you know there's a new episode, even though the answer is it published at 5:30 in the morning. And you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts. We're also on Amazon and Pandora and wherever you get your shows, Google Podcasts. But, you know, follow on Spotify, subscribe on Apple. See you tomorrow.